Christmas is almost here. We've been waiting a long time for this. We've been waiting a particularly long time in my household because Christmas is a very big deal. We actually start playing music. How many of you do this? Start playing Christmas music before Thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, if we could find a Christmas tree farm that would sell us a tree in November, we'd probably have our Christmas tree up in the middle of November. We love Christmas. I think you love Christmas too. This is a very interesting time of year, isn't it? It's an interesting time of year because you can go out to the mall, you can go out to public places and actually hear music, much like we heard tonight, celebrating the birth of Jesus, celebrating the birth of the Son of God, the heaven-born Prince of Peace. This is remarkable to me anyway in so many ways because the world would seem to be hostile to the Christian faith, or at the very least, apathetic. But one time a year, you can go out to the mall, you can go out to these places, and we actually hear songs celebrating Jesus. Let every heart prepare him room. Earlier this month, my family and I had the chance to attend a Christmas concert. It wasn't a church event at all, but it was billed as a traditional Christmas concert, which, as we learned, meant we'd be singing songs that actually had something to do with Jesus, not a snowman or sleigh rides. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. It was an outstanding concert, a wonderful performance. In between the music that we heard, somebody, much like we did tonight, read from the Bible, the historical account of the birth of Jesus. And for my family, particularly for my kids who are young, it was quite a thing to behold, because here we are, not in a church, with at least a couple thousand other people sitting down, listening to music that's celebrating Jesus. Someone's actually reading from the Bible, and the whole time people seem to be quite interested in it. As we were walking out of this concert, one of my daughters, again, I've got young children, leaned over and asked me, "Daddy, do you think that people here actually understand all of this?" And I thought to myself, what a great question. And actually, I have the same question too, because again, here we are, not in church, sitting down with a group of maybe a couple thousand people for over an hour, listening to music about Jesus, actually hearing from the Bible, and you have to wonder, are people really taking this in? Do they really get this? And of course, we have to ask that question of ourselves as well. Are we really taking this in? Do we really get what Christmas is about? When we hear these songs, we hear these words of what Christmas is about, do we feel the power? Do we feel the significance of what Christmas is about? And if we did, what kind of response do you think we would have? How do you think that we would act, or what would we think, or how would we feel if the weight of Christmas really sunk in? For my sermon tonight, I want to consider how those very first people who heard the very first Christmas sermon and heard the very first Christmas carol, how they responded. What was their reaction? I'm referring, of course, to the shepherds. And we heard their account tonight read to us out of Luke 2. They're out in the fields keeping watch over their flock at night, and they heard the very first Christmas sermon. An angel showed up and delivered a very short Christmas sermon. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And following that very brief message, they heard what I believe could be the very first Christmas carol, spoken by the heavenly host. And it's not clear if they sung it. We certainly sing words like this: "Glory to God in the highest." This was that carol. "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And I want to consider tonight how these shepherds responded. What was their reaction when Christmas was fresh, when they were seeing it for the first time and hearing it for the first time? How did they respond? And we're going to see four ways that the shepherds responded to the message of Christmas. And I want to suggest to you as well that these are four ways that we too might respond as we take in the weight and the significance of Christmas. And so the first response we see is actually a little bit surprising, I think. We see it in Luke chapter 2, verse 9. "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And we're told the shepherds were full of great Fear. Fear. That's the first response they have to the message of Christmas is fear. And not only fear, we're told great fear. If you go home and read this passage with your family tonight, maybe you've got a translation of the Bible that says terrified. And that's a good way to describe it as well. They were terrified. This is that pit in the stomach kind of fear. We don't tend to associate Christmas with fear. We don't hear too many songs that have to do with the fear of Christmas, and yet here we have it. Right in the Bible, the very first response to Christmas was fear. Actually, this is a somewhat common response that we find in the Bible when someone meets an angel. When someone encounters the divine presence, very commonly the response is fear. Because the God of the Bible is holy. He is consuming. He's the Almighty One. He is the great King. And so the shepherds, sensing their own unworthiness, feeling the weight of their smallness and the weight of God's presence with them, are actually afraid. They're afraid. So that's one response. The second response we see that the shepherds have is joy. Fear gives way to something else, and it's joy. The angel says to them in verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So from great fear to great joy. And why is that? Again, we see that in that first Christmas sermon. Why is it they should be full of great joy? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Don't be full of fear, the angel says. Be full of joy. This is one of the ways that we might respond to Christmas. We saw a glimpse of that tonight with the puppet show there. Now, why is it that we're full of joy? The angel tells us because a Savior has come. A Savior has come. A Savior means what? A Savior is about what? It means that we need saving. If all that we needed was education, if all that we needed was moral instruction, just some sort of path to live our life, God would have sent a teacher. If all that we needed is inspiration so that we might be able to find our own hidden light or look within ourselves to fix our problems ourselves, God could have sent a motivator. But our problem, of course, is deeper than all of these things. A problem can only be addressed by a Savior. And so the angel says, be full of great joy. The Savior who takes away the sin of the world has been born tonight. That little cradle, that manger trough in which the baby Jesus has been laid, will lead to the cross, where Jesus will give himself up, where he will allow himself to be put to death for our sake, where he will take on himself the curse of sin, our judgment in our place. That's why we call him a Savior. That's why the angel says, rejoice. When we take in what Christmas is about, this too can be our response. Great joy, rejoice. We join with the heavenly host, the angels that join that first angel. Glory, glory to God in the highest. So fear, joy. And we see, though, that the shepherds continue to respond. There's yet some more responses, yet the story continues. When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. What is the third response we see? It's action. It's action. They do something. They set out to investigate. They heard the testimony of the angels. They heard that sermon. They heard the heavenly host, but they decide to go and investigate for themselves. They go and seek it out for themselves. And friends, this is what you and I must do as well. We must seek after the truth of God with all of our heart. And to investigate, to seek after the truth of God means reading our Bibles. It means finding fellowship with those who are seeking him as well. It means looking and searching and not giving up. I've heard people say to me over the years, but I am seeking after God. I am seeking after God, and yet he seems so far away. But remember that promise in Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. All your heart. If this message of the angels is true, isn't this what we would do? We would seek after this child with our whole heart. We would take action, we would investigate. And that's exactly what we see the shepherds do. They go into Bethlehem. They find that baby lying in the manger just as it had been told them. And so fear gives way to joy. And joy leads to action, but yet we see another response. There in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen as it had been told them. What's their final response? It's worship. It's worship. They glorify and praise God. Their eyes are off of themselves. Their eyes are off the cares and concerns of this world, and they worship. This, the Bible tells us, is the reason you and I have been created. We've been made with a purpose. We were made to be worshipers. Every one of us came into this building tonight as worshipers. And you will walk out those doors as worshipers. And you will get up tomorrow morning as worshipers. And you will go to bed as worshipers. And every day that you live as a worshiper. We were made to praise and to glorify something. We were made to find and celebrate ultimate significance in something. The only question is, what? Or more properly, who we will worship? Will you, along with these lowly shepherds, bow your knee and give your heart to that Savior, to that King who has been born, Christ the Lord? Will you worship the Holy God? This is how we respond to Christmas. From fear to joy to action to worship. To worship. Amen. Father, would you impress this on our own minds and on our own hearts tonight, what it means that you sent your Son into the world. Lord, would we feel in a fresh way, even tonight, the weight and significance of what Christmas is about. That God became flesh, that our King is among us. Father, we pray that by your grace and through the help of the Holy Spirit, you would help us to respond as we should to this good news of great joy. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The laborer's strength. How could he preach the gospel? How could he bend his knees in prayer? How could the missionary go into foreign lands? How could the martyr stand at the stake? How could the confessor acknowledge his master? How could men labor if that one word were taken away? God with us is the sufferer's comfort, is the balm of his woe, is the alleviation of his misery, is the sleep that God gives to his beloved is the rest after exertion and toil. God with us.